Production. Recorded live.
Hello, everyone. This is Carl Shinneman, president and founder of ReviewLess, and welcome to another edition of ESI Bytes, where we offer information from national speakers on electronic discovery at a price everyone can afford, which is free, and available when they're interested in listening to it, which is whenever you download it, put it on a computer, iPod, iPad, and hit play, hit pause maybe, listen to it when you have time later on. That's the whole point of podcasting here. Today we have a real interesting show on an e-discovery conference in California, which I'm helping to contribute content to, scheduled for July 22nd through 25th in Monterey, California. It's the Carmel Valley e-discovery retreat. This program was purposely designed with an attendee experience in mind. It's located at the exclusive Monterey Hotel and Spa. This intimate retreat is a real engaging, productive, and highly personalized experience to try to help attendees, you know, mold together a laid-back retreat in a scenic California location with a quality lineup of speakers. So it should also appeal to a West Coast e-discovery audience who are hungry for this type of content and maybe can't afford the time or the expense to go out to Georgetown. And last year, the conference hit a real home run in its inaugural year. Judge Peck burst onto the predictive coding scene at Carmel by discussing his views on using these tools, which were highly blogged and tweeted. You know, fast forward 9 months later, and now Judge Peck's overseeing the Silva Moore case, the first one in the country, which offered guidance on the acceptability of using of predictive coding. Our guest for today's show is the sweat and perseverance, entrepreneurial visionary of this entire conference, Chris LaCour. He's the founder and executive director of the Carmel Valley e-discovery retreat. He's a very passionate individual who took his business development skills in the e-discovery space and attorney training and by accident sort of formulated what's now known as the Carmel Valley e-discovery retreat, which is also known as CVEDR. He decided to be an e-discovery entrepreneur and set this conference up. His initial e-discovery experience came from the LPO staffing and offshore review field. And like me, he recognized the need for better e-discovery education and specifically the need for a more robust and interactive e-discovery community on the West Coast. Carmel's California by the Sea Valley has long been cherished destination for Chris and his family. And it's sort of interesting that during a family trip there, he first conceived of the idea of organizing a retreat for e-discovery professionals in a relaxed and intimate setting surrounded by the beauty of California Central Coast. Chris, you're like me. You know, you're a little sick. You're on vacation, and you're thinking of ways to mold in an e-discovery issue here. So, but despite being a newcomer and unknown in the e-discovery industry, Chris overcame this by contacting a lot of highly respected names in the industry and told them about his idea, and they decided to come on board because of his enthusiasm, sincerity, and confidence. And that 2011 conference was a success, and we're really looking forward to this year's conference. So let's start the show. First of all, Chris, how did you get started in e-discovery?
Hi, Carl. Thank you for having me. I got started in e-discovery by accident. I was going through the law school admissions process and decided to change industries in hopes of learning more about the legal space. My first experience with e-discovery began with a company named LawScribe. I got a job in business development with them. I cold called everyone, literally, securing conference calls with both corporations and law firms. And that marked the beginning of my interest in e-discovery.
So, looking back briefly, 2011, the first Carmel Valley e-discovery retreat, if you were to come up with maybe two highlights that sort of drove home what was unique about that conference, what would they be?
I would have to say that the first was Judge Peck's keynote address on predictive coding. It was really amazing to see the response that resulted from Judge Peck delivering that keynote address. The second, it was really great to get all of these amazing thought leaders together under one roof. That's what makes the retreat unique, and I think everyone appreciated that. I started the retreat with a goal of putting together the brightest minds together, and actually seeing that take place from inception to fruition was a real treat for me.
Yeah, had there been an exhausting at the end, I can only imagine. So how would you recommend that someone get the most out of the Carmel Valley eDiscovery Retreat?
I would suggest those attendees who will be joining us, I would ask that they rent a car and visit Big Sur, Pebble Beach, Carmel by the Sea. If they decide not to rent a car, they're more than welcome to walk a few minutes down Canterbury Row and explore the Monterey Bay Aquarium. Carl, there's really a lot to do both on-site and off-site, and that's what I like about the retreat. This is the type of event where you want to bring your family. I really like that fact because the retreat is family-friendly. Not often do we as eDiscovery professionals, right, have an opportunity to bring our families along with us while we're out on the road, either visiting other clients or visiting with friends or, you know, attending conferences. For the most part, many of us wouldn't think about bringing a significant other or our children, for example, to a conference. But because of the location, time of year, and setting, it makes sense.
My wife and daughter had the exact, one of my daughters had the same thought, so I have two guests coming with me, but go ahead.
Oh, no, that's wonderful. And I hear this from a number of speakers who are going to be joining us this year. Every year I work very hard to bring the best and brightest minds together. For example, you know, obviously we brought on Carl, which you have been very instrumental in helping grow and develop the retreat this year, and I'm very appreciative to you. George Socha, the co-founder of EDRM. Charles Scamser, who I've developed a relationship with this year and has been very instrumental. He is the founder and senior analyst for eDiscovery Solutions Group. And my good friends over at the eDiscovery Journal, Jason Velasco, Barry Murphy, and Greg Buckless, who have been with me since the beginning. They've also been very, very helpful in helping assist any way that they can. What I really like about what I'm doing is the simple fact that, for the most part, all of these names that I mentioned are very recognizable names in the eDiscovery industry, and they're doing good work. And I like putting them in a social setting that makes it easy for anyone to chat with them and get to really know them on a personal level.
So what are you looking forward to for the 2012 Carmel Valley Discovery Retreat?
I'm looking forward to seeing old friends. The retreat has grown by leaps and bounds this year, and I'm especially looking forward to making new friends. I would have to say second that I'm looking forward to Greg's TAR panel. There will be a number of different vendor perspectives on the subject, and I'm anxious to see how the discussion will unfold. Third, I'm looking forward to formally announcing the second installment of the retreat. We've had such a great response this year that I decided to create a new retreat, Laguna Beach eDiscovery Retreat, which is scheduled to take place in my backyard, Orange County, California. And that it will have a very similar look and feel to that of Carmel Valley eDiscovery Retreat.
Yeah, and I, you know, when we originally did the podcast last year, sort of looking back at Carmel and what happened, I immediately at the end of the show said, "Hey, let's. I want to put together some live content for you," and I'm real excited. I've got these two panels I put together. One is a judges panel that I sort of modeled after Georgetown, which normally schedules their judges roundtable panel for the end of the conference to try to keep people to stay through the end. The difference here is we're not doing that. Number one, we're putting it right in the middle. But secondly, we're only talking about predictive coding, and there's so many issues in predictive coding that to get such a diverse panel of judges, which include, you know, Judge Fisher from the Western District of Pennsylvania, who is instrumental in the Special Master eDiscovery Pilot Program here in Pittsburgh, and was involved in a training session where an entire court was trained on predictive coding, which was very unique. Judge Facciolo has done a number of ESI Bites podcasts and has a half dozen of the most cited opinions in e-discovery and is one of the experts on ethics of what lawyers need to be doing to ethically represent their clients, which is get very conversant with e-discovery is one of the things they have to do, and that's been something he's been very vocal about. Judge David Waxy from Kansas, who was the author of the Williams v. Sprint case involving native data and Excel spreadsheets in production, but has been an active advocate on technology review and been deeply involved with trying to promote better cooperation and meet and confers, which is one of the real tough areas of negotiating how to use predictive coding is how you work it through with the other side in the meet and confer process. Sitting in the middle of that exact mess right now is Judge Peck, who comes back again and, Law Technology News Technology Champion of the Year in 2012. He's the judge in DeSilva Moore. He was involved in one of the top keyword search cases in the country, the Gross Construction case. And then we've got also from the Southern District of New York, Judge Frank Moss, who's had a number of very large cases and been on lots of panels talking about predictive coding. So you've got this geographically diverse group of thought-leading judges talking about all the issues. And you know, it's interesting when I put this together, I got to tell you, Chris, I was scared to death. I looked at a calendar and I said, it's November. I'm starting putting this together. My God, what's the worst thing that could happen? Well, maybe in February there'll be some type of an opinion in predictive coding. That would really mess things up. And, so then DeSilva Moore came out in February, and then, a case I'm involved in Virginia, Global Aerospace, came out. So we've got a couple of orders and opinions here. And what I've noticed is there's even more issues than before, because now we've been actually struggling through the meet and confer and predictive coding protocol and, do you turn over seed sets? Do you, what's the best approach to kickstart the system? There's so many issues. Should these tools be subject to Daubert scrutiny? Our time might not even be enough. So I couldn't be more excited. I think we planned this perfectly, Chris, even though we started back in November. Then I've got a panel of some of the thought leaders that actually are lawyers or computer scientists that are working with the tools in the field. Tom Grix, who's the lead lawyer in Global Aerospace, Maura Grossman from Tom's from Schneider Harrison, Maura Grossman from Wachtell Lipton, who runs the Trek e-discovery study and is one of the leading authors advocating machine-assisted review. Bennett Borden, who's at Williams Mullen and has written some very interesting pieces on using machine-assisted review to speed up review. And the key thing about these lawyers is they're actually using these tools in cases. They're not just picking up a manual and saying, this makes sense, let's go out and talk about it. They're actually doing it. And then we threw some computer scientists in there, Herb Reuplatt, from chief scientist at Orchitech, who's also been published extensively through the eDiscovery Institute on machine-assisted review, and David Lewis, who's designed one of the tools in the industry and also is involved as an expert in the clean products case in Chicago as well as in other cases. And I think this combination of actual practitioners working with these tools is going to be very creative and fill in some of the gaps that I can't get to with the judges. So this is going to be one of the most exciting things I've been involved in this year, and I'm putting all my energy into it as I do, any of these things that I do, but this has really got my attention. So, Chris, I got to thank you for putting this conference together and letting me try to put this material together for you. So hopefully we get blogged about, right, and tweeted, and a lot of people show up.
That's the hope. That's the intent. Sure.
So let's turn the focus back on you again, Chris. I'm sorry. I start talking about these things. I'm so passionate about it. But the website talks about panel sessions on a comprehensive selection of e-discovery topics taught by leading industry experts. What are some of the specific examples?
Yeah, I'm going to start with our themes. We've got four themes this year. Our first theme is e-discovery in the cloud, and the gentleman who will be moderating that theme will be Charles Scamser. The next theme we have is real-life analytics, which will be moderated by Greg Buckless of eDiscovery Journal. Following, we'll have the new economics of review from contract attorneys to machine-assisted reviews, moderated by Cliff Dutton of Dutton LLC. And then last but not least, a good friend of mine, George Socha, who co-founded EDRM, will be leading the panels under the theme eDiscovery and the Erosion of Work Product Production. The way that the retreat operates is we have themes each year. And what typically happens is I will ask the moderators to develop specific panel session topics under each theme, typically 4 to 5 panels. And then once we develop those panels, we'll then obviously add speakers to those panels. The most recent up-to-date panel session list is available on the retreat website. So for anyone who is interested in reviewing the panels, I would encourage you to visit cvedr.com. In the top menu, find info, drop down to panel sessions, and once you click on panel sessions, all of the panel sessions will appear, speakers, participants, moderators, so on and so forth.
Okay, and the website also talks about the keynote presentations, which cover some of the latest trends. What are some of the keynote presentations?
Yes, we have a keynote presentation that will be given by the Honorable Nora B. Fisher. Her topic is going to be discussing the subject of instituting a special master program for e-discovery disputes and reaping its benefits. The second is Craig Ball, who has been a very instrumental figure in our space, and Craig is going to be discussing. His topic is spoiled and diluted, weeding out the e-discovery fad.
And obviously, I'm familiar with both of these. And, I'm participating in the special master program that Judge Fisher will talk about, and she's done podcasts with us. This is a great topic. Craig Ball is one of the most entertaining speakers in the country, a good friend of mine, and I think he's worth going just to listen to him speak. He's one of the few people that I will pay to go watch, even though I work in the space. And I'm always amazed that I learn stuff. I always think, well, why am I doing this? Just supporting a friend, and then I walk away with a couple new ideas. So I think these are great keynote speakers. So, part of the draw, I guess, is the locale and the type of environment you set up. So how do you facilitate networking opportunities with peers from other companies?
Yeah, let's get into that. So the retreat has a number of scheduled social events built into it. HSNO, who is the platinum sponsor, a good friend of mine, Matthew Blake, he is hosting the welcome reception that we will have on the first night that will kick off things for the retreat. We also have BIA, who is going to be hosting a cocktail reception. We have Clearwell Systems, now part of Symantec. They will be hosting a invitation-only gala dinner that will take place on Tuesday evening in Carmel by the Sea. And Axis Data, who is our golf tournament sponsor, will be playing golf at the links at Spanish Bay at the beautiful Pebble Beach Resort there. So we've besides those scheduled social events, the retreat, as you mentioned earlier, has a very casual, more relaxed feel to it. So what I've found is that during breaks especially, people will just typically gravitate towards one another, talk about the panels, post the panels have ended, of course. So I see a lot of conversations taking place in miscellaneous groups for 2 or 3 days, and you really get an opportunity. What I like is to interact with one another and kind of discuss, all things e-discovery. So that's what I would say in terms of networking opportunities are available. Besides the scheduled social events, attendees will have the ability to network with one another during dinner. So dinner is on your own each evening, and I would imagine that a good majority of them will connect with old friends And those new friends that they make, they'll go out together and enjoy the evening. So
you've also got an exhibit room to see exhibits, right?
Well, the way that it works with the retreat is we will have exhibits on the patio. So typically the time of year and the location, assuming all things good with the weather, we will have exhibits on the patio, and that's what we did last year. We did not have a traditional exhibit hall. So what we did is we had exhibits outside on the patio, and that was done purposely to give it a different, unique and feel. I mean, for example, I mean, there's a number of other conferences in our industry, and you just wouldn't do that because of the time and because of the weather. But because we're in California, and for the most part, we get a lot of sunshine, we have the opportunity to do that.
So where do you get more information about the conference? Where should people look?
People should definitely visit our website. You can go to www.cvedr.com. If they have questions, they are more than welcome to contact me via email. My email address is clacour@cvedr.com. I just want to let everyone know that I did release the Laguna Beach eDiscovery Retreat website a few days ago, and we already have speakers who are already coming on board and excited to represent Southern California. So that website address is www.lbedr.com.
Is there still room for attendees to sign up? I know we're looking at about a month away.
Yes, there's still room for attendees to sign up. Anyone could register leading up until the day of the retreat. I don't have a problem with that at all. I will share that as of yesterday, I learned news that the hotel is sold out. So Monterey Plaza Hotel and Spa does not have any space available. So if there is others who would like to still participate, I would ask that they email me directly at the email address I provided, clacour@cvedr.com, and I will provide them with other hotel options.
Great. Well, it looks fantastic. I can't wait to head up there and experience the unique vibe of this conference. I also want to thank you, Chris, for joining us here at ESI Bites. It's always a pleasure to have speakers such as yourself share your knowledge with us and our listeners. Hopefully, we'll be able to do some more shows later this year. I'd like to thank our sponsor, Juranov, for their continued support of ESI Bites. To the listeners, if you've enjoyed this podcast, I'd encourage you to go to www.esibites.com with a Y for a complete list of our show. You can also remember our show and website phonetically as Easy Bites of ESI information. However you choose to remember us, come to ESI Bites to learn more about eDiscovery before ESI Bites you back. This is Carl Shinneman, president and founder of ReviewLess, wishing you a nice day.